Okay, yeah, they're usually this time. I'm Marianne Novak. Most of you know who I am. Okay, for those of you who don't, this is my show. I've lived in Skokie now almost 16 years, which is hard to believe. I teach mainly for a program called the Melton Program, which is an adult Jewish education program out of Hebrew University. And I've taught for them in various capacities for almost 13 years. Mostly what I teach is Jewish ethics, but I also teach text, mostly text, and that's the great thing about Melton. Melton is all text. And if you want to take the course, you can talk to me afterwards. I don't get any cut or any fee or anything like that. But even if you have gone through day school or post-day school of Jewish learning, it's a great experience and a great way to kind of put many disparate parts of your Jewish knowledge in a way that doesn't always come together in other parts of learning, because that's not the it comes later on when you have a more greater scope of knowledge. Okay, so I just want to pick up, I think, the best way to start when, before we look at these mikorot. Does everybody have?
Thank you. Okay. Does everybody have?
Okay, now, yes, these are somewhat microscopic, and to show... And even myself, I started reading them. I got them in advance. And here's my own, especially when we're going to look at something from the Midrash Tanhuma. I have my own really nice one that's minukad and easy to read and whatever. But we will go through these, and we're going to pick up on the theme. I think what's interesting is that we learned about Miriam from this very wonderful shiur that we heard from Mrs. Kanner. The idea of her kind of her fatal flaw, so to speak, was her inability to understand the specialness of Moshe Rabbeinu, specifically Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe you've seen it with your kids or your grandchildren. There's a great movie called The Incredibles, which is an animated movie. It's fantastic. You should watch it anyway. But there's a line in The Incredibles which sticks with me the whole time, and the line is this. I'm not going to give you the setup or the context, but the line is this. When everybody is special, nobody really is. Okay.
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Okay.
When everyone's a somebody, no one's anybody.
Fabulous. Okay. So, it's in line with some very lyrical people, which I am not. So here's the thing. The thing is, though, we know that Moshe was special. And the Mikorot that we're going to look at now is going to try to figure out, well, how was he special? Try to kind of quantify it in a way. And specifically, we're going to be jumping off from this first line that we have here. And this is from Vezot HaBracha. That's the first pasuk from Parshat Vezot HaBracha. And it's the top of the page. It says, Vezot HaBracha asher beirach Moshe ish ha'elohim et b'nei Yisrael lifnei moto. So this is the bracha that Moshe, who was ish ha'elohim. What does that mean?
Man of God.
Man of God? Mm-hmm. Or man who is the God? Or man who's the God? It begs a lot of questions. It's not entirely clear from the text itself what that means. So the Mikorot, we know he's special. We know he has some connection to God. But here's the paradox, and this is the way that Mrs. Kanner has set up the Mikorot that we're looking at it. Is he a man of God? Is he a godly man, kind of man with a little g, who does godlike things on earth? Or is he superhuman? Is he supernatural, almost? And so we have to figure out exactly what's going on. So let's take a look at the first source that we have, which is in that bowl that's on the paragraph right underneath, and it comes from Devarim Rabbah, which is from the Midrashic material. You got a little bit of if you were in Rabbi Myers, he did a good job of describing what Midrash Rabbah is. Midrash Rabbah, it's compiled in the 3rd century, but the text that you're looking at now doesn't come until the 7th century. That's just something you should know. And the same people who talk in Midrash Rabbah are the same people who are talking in the Gemara and in the Mishnah. So the same, in other words, if you see Rabbi Akiva in the Midrash Rabbah, rest assured, it's the same Rabbi Akiva that you saw in the Mishnah. So a lot of it looks like sometimes, you have many times Midrashic-looking discussions that make it into Midrash Rabbah, which are also in the Gemara. So you have a lot of times you have texts that are the same. So here we have this. It's about Rabbi Pinchas is bringing B'sha'ah she'egiu yimei Moshe liftar min ha'olam amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, he's getting ready to die. Now, if you look at all of Midrash Rabbah and Devarim, you'll see that Moshe, how do you think Moshe feels about dying?
He's a man.
He's really unhappy. And if you look at the midrashic material, I would say, it's going to be on tape, he's really cranky. And he's mad. He's mad. He's mad. He wants to go in. It's two things. A, he wants to live longer, forever, possibly just to go in. Maybe. Maybe. Have to see. Maybe. So let's take that point, because that's God. Yeah, so we have to see. So let's see what he says here. It's time, okay? Now it's time for you to get ready. Your time is coming near. You need to die. Amar lefanav, he says to him, Ribono Sha'olam. Okay, God. And now we see his anger. Are you really telling me I'm going to die now? Are you kidding me? Okay, we're getting ready. Are you really, really, really? Okay, and then the proof text they have here is Lo Amud Kich Yeh Vesaper Maaseh Hashem. In other words, if I won't die, so that I'll have the ability to again tell everybody about how great you are, Kosh Baruch Hu, because I can do that through my actions if I live. If I die, then we're out of luck.
So.
It is. It's their proof text that they're picking up. Yes, absolutely. It's true. They're going to pick up proof text, especially from Ketuvim, which I think Rabbi Myers also talked about. Or somebody said, Ketuvim, we're picking Ketuvim. Yes, their proof text. But let's not get stuck on that. Let's keep going, because you're going to get stuck, and it's going to be very unsatisfying. Okay? So what is the response? Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yata Yachu, Ki Zeh Chol Hadam. No, I'm sorry. This is the path of all men. Okay? This is, this is coming from Kohelet, which is obviously not Moshe. It comes a lot later. We have it in the mouth of Shlomo HaMelech. Amar Moshe, Ribono Shalom, Devar Acher, Ani Mevakesh Mivcha Lifnei Mavti She'ekhanes. One thing I'm going to ask. Before I die, I want to go in. Now, the gloss here that you have here is Ekhanes. Where are you going to go into? Eretz Yisrael. Now, I got to tell you, though, and this is on the side. Many of the Meforshim don't think he's talking about going into Eretz Yisrael. In fact, if you look at Nechama Leibovitz and her and the fortune that she calls here, she said, no, he's not talking about Eretz Yisrael. But that's just inside. But this is one opinion. One opinion is that he's actually going to land. The other opinion is, no, he's just, I want to go into the kingdom of heaven and be like a god, okay, or be like a malach. But that's a whole other story, okay? And go in. Okay. So, what happens? Let's see, where are we? Okay. And he asked him, "What fair? I want to go into land." He says, "Okay." For them to see, what does he say? I ask thee one favor before I die, that I enter her after all the gates of heaven, that the deep will be open for me to see that there is none beside thee. In other words, I want to have this knowledge that
there's only one God.
Well, that there's.
This is a pretty shocking statement that I actually see. We're now going. I find this very shocking.
Well, if you read the other midrashim, you can take it out. This is actually mild. This is kind of mild. The other ones are, when I say he's cranky, I'm actually sort of being euphemistic. He's really, he's just not really happy about it at all. Okay. All right. So, but then he says, because you should know, and we know this line, okay, that's straight from the end of the Aleinu prayer, that I will know, because remember, Moshe is still functioning as a representative of God on earth, and that I'll be able to tell this very, very strongly. And then he says, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, ata amarta ein od, af ani omer, belo kam navi od bi Israel, ki Moshe od. Moshe od. Okay, so it's the end of it is, it's two things. So we have, this is the give and take. So Moshe is saying, please, I want to go in. I want to go into the land of Israel, and I want to know this. And so, but there's some reassurance on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, you're going to die, but remember something. There's nobody like you. Come to Israel, come Moshe. Okay, that's one thing. So let's look at the gloss here. The gloss is, we don't have the source for it, but this comes from, I'm pretty sure this comes from the Gemara here. Darash Rabbi Simlai. Oh, no, actually, this is from the Devarim Rabbah again. Darash Rabbi Simlai. What was his desire? Why was he so desirous to go into the land of Israel? And it goes on. In other words, I have a chance now. There's so many mitzvot that I couldn't do, but in the land of Israel, now I have a chance to do it. Now let's think about this. Here's Moshe. He's going to die. What's his main worry? That I'm going to do a mitzvah. Does this sound like a regular human being?
Did they even know at that time?
Yes. Oh, yes. And especially in Devarim, there's the whole recapitulation, especially of the mitzvot that have to do, that you can only do when you have a land. So for sure. All right, yes, it's all there in great detail. So in that whole Sefer, absolutely. So this is interesting. Is this a human?
Soup. But he was special.
He was special. But he's special. But the special part is, it's interesting because what kind of point of view are we saying? From Hashem's point of view, what does he look like?
Human being.
Special, but human. But when we look at it as human being, so this, I mean, a lot of times the perspective, you look at the perspective, here's a person, he's going to die, and the only thing he's worried about that he didn't complete enough mitzvah? Mm-hmm. That's extraordinary. Extraordinary. Okay, that's...
I assume you have lived in Israel.
No.
You have not.
No, I've been there. But...
Let me tell you, as someone who has lived there for a number of years, that the very first time that you go up to a tree and pick the fruit,
it's special.
It's very, very special. It is moving. It gives you goosebumps. I get goosebumps talking about it, even now.
I don't think we're debating the specialness of the mitzvah.
No, but I'm saying, and I am certainly not on Moshe's level. I definitely see Moshe's point.
But even so, on your death, you know, if you're lying on your deathbed, which should not happen until you're all 120 and whatever, etc., that might not be the first thing that's going to come to mind. Oh, I didn't get to say this.
But I can see that.
Okay, I think it separates Moshe out to a degree. Okay, so the next thing that we're going to look at the very, we have the Devarim Rabbah, which again, we're still in the Devarim Rabbah, again in the Midrashic material. And here is a different point of view. And this is a very lovely mashal that they describe again, Moshe is having this discussion. It's a long discussion. He argues with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he argues with the Malachim, but by the way, the Malachim don't like human beings ever. They don't want them to be, they just don't really want them for many, many different reasons. But that's a whole other shear. But let's see what they have to say here. And here's another point of view. Devarcher, Amari Relevi, Lama HaDavar Domeh, what is this like? Li'isha Abura, Shenech Besha Beveda Surim. Okay, here's a woman who is in jail, and she's going to give birth in jail. She's pregnant in jail. Yaldasham, and she gives Yaldasham Ben. Okay, she gives birth to a son. Gadal oto yelet. This boy grows up. Avar hamelech l'mnei beit hasurim. Hichir oto yelet litz voach. Okay, so what happens? She has birthed his kid, and the time that the head guy, could be like the king comes, visits the prison, and the kid sees him and starts screaming at him. Okay, she starts to scream. What is he screaming? Adoni hamelech. Lama ani chavush beveit hasurim. Why am I in prison? I'm my person. Amar lo hamelech, b'chataya shel imecha. Because of the sin of your mother, at natun kan, kach, okay, that's why you're here. That's right. Kach amar Moshe, ribono shel olam, lamed vav kretut hein. So there's 36 things that Averot that are so bad that require you to either have immediate death or you're going to be separated from karet. It's hard for us to understand what that means, but it's something so, so egregious. And so what does he say? Okay. If anyone does one, they're gonna die. But me, Shema, I didn't do any of these. Lama atagozer alai mita. Why are you decreeing for me death? Okay. Amar lo b'chayata shel Adam Harishon. Okay. Atamet shehevi mita lolam. Hain, and this is the proof text from Breishit, Hain mahu hain bavona toshakatuv bo hain. Hain hadam haya kechad mimenu vegomer. In other words, what's the arc of Adam Harishon? When Adam Harishon starts off in Gan Eden, what's his most supernatural, superhuman quality? That he's what? He's immortal. He's immortal. And what comes with the downfall is
acknowledging death.
Seeing that Chava is frightened and he actually comes and helps her. It's actually a nicer way of looking at it in our tradition than others, but he sees her that she's struggling and that she's afraid, and he follows along with her. Okay, so what is it really saying? Saying is, from Hashem's point of view, Moshe, are you special? Yes. But what?
Not that special.
Because you are special. No, lo kam bi Yisrael ke Moshe od. That's for sure. But from my perspective, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the fate of man. At the state of, you are still a human being. That's the fate of man. And the next midrash, again, we can struggle with this idea, does Moshe deserve to die? Even if we would have to debate his chet of the rock and what happened there, and if he's getting into Eretz Israel, and if really death was really necessary or whatever, he could have lived on the other side of the Yarden for a long time. We don't know. But again, this is a more philosophical question beyond just his own idea, but really he's special, he's different, but from where you're looking. Okay, so let's look at the next one, which this is also again Svarim Rabba. Amar lo Moshe, Ribono Shalom, and that's, you know, the exclamation point there is right. Sometimes the punctuation that you have is totally wrong, but here it's good. He says, okay. Achar kolotoa kavod v'otoa gvara sheru enai ani mit. I've seen all your glory and everything, and now I'm going to die? Really? Amar lo kadosh baruch hu Moshe. And again, here is the proof text from Tehillim. Regardless, there's no person who's, even the greatest givorim that we have, they're going to die. And then he gives them some examples. Who's greater than Avraham? Avraham, okay, he was brought before Nimrod, he rucks through the fire, and he comes out and he's fine. Okay, that's great. Okay, v'achar kach, v'yamat Avraham. But time came for him to die. Even Avraham dies. And what about Migever Kiyitzchak? Shepashat Sabaro ala Mizbeach. This is Yitzchak whose neck is outstretched on the Mizbeach. Okay. Vehakachamar. Hinena Zakanti. Okay. Lo Yadati Yomoti. He got old and he died too. Okay. Geber Kiyako. Shesheva Ima Malach Vayochal. He's the one who struggles with the angel and he goes on. Vehakach Nemar Bo. Rivu Yame Yisrael Lamut. It was time for him to die. Okay, Migever Kemoshe Shadibir Imbiro Panim Al Panim. Okay, so now we know that Moshe is totally different. Even though he's a different Geber, why? Because speaking Panim Al Panim, face to face. Okay, Vacharkach, and here at the end it says he's going to die too, okay, regardless. So again, I think many times it's from your perspective. As human beings, we see Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they're great Kippurim, but Moshe also. Probably the most special. We can absolutely say he's the most special. We describe him as the most special, but he's going to die. Okay. Now, the next ones that we're going to look at really speak more, I think, of a way of seeing Moshe as very human. As very, very human. And the next two Midrashim are particularly lovely. Again, from Midrash Rabbah again. And here is the idea that part of what he's rallying against is, well, who's going to take over for me? Yes, who's taking over for him? Yeshua's going to take over for him. And if you understand, if you know that the relationship that B'nai Israel has with Yehoshua and the kind of leader that Yehoshua is nothing like Moshe. They will see no one like Moshe. They're also different people at this point in time, and they kind of need somebody else, but that's all their story. But now we have Moshe. Yeah.
Do you think that
It's a great question.
If he would have been allowed to go into Eretz Israel and stay there for 2 months or 3 months or whatever, and then God would have come and said, it's time for you to die, do you think he would have given him that same argument?
Let's look at these midrashim because they answer this question almost on point. So you ask the question at the perfect time. So you're super, super smart. Fabulous. Okay, so what's the deal? Even if Moshe lived, he wasn't going to be leader. So here's Moshe, the leader. And think about a leader with the new one in command, and you have to sit around and watch it. Okay, and these midrashim, okay, think about, okay, so you all understand. Okay, so look at this, okay, so you think about it, it's very difficult. You think about many shuls, they'll have a rabbi emeritus. A good rabbi emeritus, my father's a rabbi, so I know, although he's a full-time academician right now, thank God, he's a rabbi, but a good rabbi emeritus, they don't sit on the bima, sit as a regular balabas in the back.
Sometimes.
Right, exactly. Okay. So let's look at these machines because they're totally on point. Okay, my Rosh, Rabbonu Shel Olam, Yachol Yeshua Acharei Sheli, he's going to be the Yechai. Let Yeshua take over, but I'll live. Exactly your question, Reed. Exactly what you were alluding to. He says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Aselo Kader Shehu Oselach, Lach V'Kabel Alatzmach Leyo Tamidav. In other words, let's switch roles. Because he's your student now. Let's see how it is if you're the student and he's the teacher. Okay, so what happens? Miyadashkin Moshe v'halach levito shel Yeshua. He goes to Yeshua's house. Netera Yeshua. He gets Yeshua. Marlo Moshe l'Yeshua. Rabbi boi itzlai. Okay? He says, he calls him Rabbi. He calls Yeshua Rabbi. So you can only imagine Yeshua's probably thinking, what's going on? Okay. What's going on?
No,
okay. Yetzu l'aloch. Halach Moshe l'smelo shel Yeshua. They walk to the left. So it's even acknowledging that Yeshua's on the right. He's a stronger guy. Nichnasu l'ol moed. They go to the ol moed. Yarad amud hanan. They seek b'nehem. Okay, so the amud hanan, the cloud of glory, comes down, and it separates them. Moshe's not in the anan. Yeshua's in the anan getting the nevuah.
Couldn't that break your apple?
And it does. Look what it does. Look what it says here. It's such a beautiful midrash. Okay. Mishanistalech amud hanan. When the amud hanan kind of went away. Halach Moshe etzel Yeshua v'amarlo. So it goes to Yeshua and said, ah, ma amar lach ha-dibur. What'd you hear? What'd he say? He said, amar lo Yeshua, kishayah dibar niglai lecha yodea hayita ma medaber imcha. And when you got it, Moshe, you told me what was going on? I can't tell you. Okay, I'll tell you. Oto sha'ah tza'ak Moshe v'amar. At that very moment, Moshe screams and says, mea mitot v'lo kin'ah achat. I would rather die 100 deaths than to have that degree of kin'ah, jealousy. Okay, v'kipel alav lamut, and he accepted that he would be able to die now because he knew he couldn't take it. So from that point of view, how does Moshe seem?
Really human.
And the next midrash, which is beautiful, from the Midrash Tanchuma, which is a very interesting collection of midrashim that come some from the same sources as a Midrash Rabbah, but they're put down a little bit later, and some of them are really, they're homiletic devices. So everyone knows what a homily is. Homily is a drasha. It's a sermon. Okay. Some people don't know what it means. Nobody really uses that word, at least in our community. So etc. Okay. So here is the same kind of thing, and it's a setup where Moshe is now going to go to the Beit Midrash of Yehoshua. He's going to try it out. Okay. So all right. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu. Achmani Gosha Olam, Dor Vador Shav. Basically, Hashem is telling him, this is the way of the world. You have one generation, and the next generation, and we take from another, and we pass things along, and that's what happens. Okay. Let's go where it's at. Okay. Amar Lefanav, I'm three downstairs. Rabboni, Imafana Yeshua animate, Elech Ve'yelo Tamid. Okay, well, let me just go and switch around. Let me go and be his Talmud instead. Okay? Amarla, Ima Tarotzel, Sotkin. Okay, if you want to, go ahead. Lan Asa, he went. Aman Moshe, Vishkim, Liftako, Shel, Yeshua. He stands at the doorway where Yeshua is. Hayar Yeshua, Yoshev, Vidoresh, Vimo, Moshe, Vikafaf, Komato, Vinir, Yedo, Alpiv. So Moshe is, he's stunned. He's standing there. The Nitz Amo, Enav, Shel Yeshua, Valora, Aoto. Okay, in other words, he sees Yeshua there. Yeshua doesn't see him. And when he sees him doing his job, he says, okay. And then the Midrash goes on to say that what happens is, in the next version of the story that goes on, because we're going to run out of time, but next version of the story, the people see him there. They see Moshe there, and they see Yeshua, and they run over to Moshe and say, well, why don't you teach us something? And Moshe has to say to them, sorry, I can't. Yeshua is your teacher now. So again, it breaks your heart. And then if you look at the end, Akshav Hare Nafshi Netunalach. I'm ready to give you my soul. I'm ready. So again, it's the perspective sometimes. If you see here, Moshe seems very human. You know, he's going to watch and he's going to try it out. Why couldn't he just live a couple more months, go to Eretz Israel, say that bracha on that pri, on that fruit of the tree, which is so special? Because it's just not going to work. Because that's the nature of human beings. And I think also you see such a great insight. So much time from the Chachamim, you see an insight. They understand human nature. Okay, it might be thousands of years old, but they completely understand human nature. Okay, now, the next Midrash also alludes to the idea that we have Moshe as a regular kind of guy. And it seems like it's picking up from some of the themes that we've also seen in the other Midrashim. Here we have God kind of asking who Moshe is. Okay? And it says, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe ben Miata. Who are you? Amarlo ben Amram, Amarlo Kosh Baruch Hu, Amram ben Mihu, Amarlo ben Yitzhar, Yitzhar ben Mihu, Amarlo ben Kahat, the Kahat ben Mihu, Amarlo ben Levi, Amarlo Kosh Baruch Hu. Okay. These, he's just getting, what? Why is it starting off that way, of asking Moshe his lineage? What's he telling him, basically? Yeah. And you're human.
You're one of them.
Shumehem, Shumatam Chai. Are any of these guys still alive?
No.
Amarlo. Kulam Meitu. They all died. Amarlo Kadosh Baruch Hu. Batarot Zelich Yot. And you want to live? Are you any better? So Moshe has a good answer. He's like, yeah, I am better. And he's going to say to him, wait a minute. Amarlo, Ribon Shalom. Adam harishu ganav ve'avel ma shelo ratzita ve'kanasa lev mita. Listen, all these other Giborim, they did something really awful. Adam harishu, he took something he wasn't supposed to take. Okay. Ve'ani ganavti klum lefanecha. I haven't stolen anything before you. I'm better. So here's his argument. I'm better. Okay. Ve'kvar katavti olai abdi Moshe kachol Beti Neman, ve'ech amut. Everything I do is upright, has integrity, and now I'm going to die. Amar lo Kosh Baruch Hu, kluma ta gadol. I can't even read this. Minoach. Amar lo. Kain. Noach evita al doro mehamabul. V'noach lo bikesh rachamim al doro. V'ani amarti. Okay, so I'm better than Noach. Noach, okay, tzadik b'doro. He asked to just take care of himself and his family. What didn't he do? He didn't ask for anybody else. He didn't ask for mercy for anybody else but me. Vani amarti. Ve'ata in tisach chatatam de'im en machani na misparecha asher katavta. In other words, when Moshe, every time Bnei Israel would sin, and Hashem would try to get rid of everybody, and say, and start over with Moshe, and Moshe would say, please, be midat harachamim, please don't do this. He always advocated for more than himself. So here he's kind of setting himself as, no, I really am better than all these people. I really am. Okay. Then he talks about Avraham. Avraham had these ten trials that he did very well, but still out of Avraham we had Yishmael. Okay, so that wasn't so great. And then and he was greater than Yitzchak. But even from Yitzchak we have Esau. So it's these are problems, and so. But then the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes back and says to him, "Let you know, yeah, that's true. You're better than these people because what came out of you, you had what, etc., etc." But he says, "But what did you do? Shetarog et hamitzri. You killed the mitzri. You were a vigilante. Okay, you should have not taken the law into your own hands. And vigilanteism really speaks to a base kind of instinct with human beings." And so from Kadosh Baruch Hu's point of view is, yeah, you're giving me a very nice argument, Moshe. And look how he's, every midrash, he's trying, setting his case, bringing up as best as he can, but in the end, it's like, oh, no, sorry. Kill the mitzvah. Yes, you are special, but there's just something about you that's...
But you can even take that further than vigilante, because if you're going out and killing the Egyptian, you in effect are doing, you know, meeting out justice like that. And right. Setting yourself up as a god.
That's vigilante.
But again, above the law. You know, definitely be above the law. And that not only does that make you like a regular human being, but it's also you're stepping close on the toes of what Kadosh Baruch Hu was supposed to do. So it's even worse. Okay, it's not even just, oh, let's go and kill the guy. But it's, I'm going to be the judge and jury. Okay, and so that's, yeah. All, there's no trial. He doesn't consult with God what he does at all. It's just kind of, and it's quick. And the narrative is super quick. It happens, whatever. He looks around, and then he runs away. Okay. So we have 5 minutes. Sam just gave me the five. Okay. So the last two midrashim that we have, this is a very fascinating piece from the Gemara of Sota. We have some idea from the end of the Torah that Moshe is maybe buried in Moab near a place called Beit Peor. Now we know that Hashem buries him. That's straight from the text. Okay. It's a great midav chesed. We learn that, etc. Chesed shel emet. So the idea is, okay, and it says v'lo yada ish et kvuroto. Nobody knows where he is buried. So does it mean nobody knows? So in this Gemara, they have people go and try and find it. And what it turns out is that it is unknowable. People who thought it was up on a mountain, then they thought, oh no, it's down on the mountain. Up and down, they can't, in other words, it's a fancy word, epistemological problem. You can't know it. There's no way that you can know where Moshe is buried. So from that point of view, what does Moshe look like? Superhuman. Superhuman, right? Okay, because we know where Avraham Avinu is buried. We know where Rachel is buried. We know where Yosef is buried. We know where all these people are buried. But Moshe, even if you wanted to do your best to find it, you can't. You can't. So that's a supernatural aspect. And maybe that's coming from... and it's an interesting place because the people who are looking for it, it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's looking for it, they're regular people who are looking for it. You just lo yada ish ekfurocho. No human could figure out, and no human will ever be able to figure out. Now, granted, we know a lot of the reasons why, just practically, we didn't want to know where Moshe was buried because we didn't want to make a shrine, we didn't want to turn him into a godlike figure, okay, we know where that goes, etc. Okay, now the last piece that we have here is where we have combination of those both point of views. If you're looking from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's point of view, Moshe is an ish. When you're looking as a human being point of view, he's not your regular guy. He is special. He is different. And so we have Vizodarachar Amar Rav Tumchuma Im Elohim Lama Ish. The Im Ish Lama Elohim. Why do you need both? Why do we have in that Pasuk there Ish Elohim? Why is it Ish and Elohim? Ela shebesha'a shehayahu shlach liyor shel mitzrayim ish. When he was thrown into the water as a kid, he was a guy, he was a kid. Okay? B'sha'a shenapach ladam ha'elohim. But once he became, went to the yor and he turns it into water, into dam, then he's superhuman, it's supernatural. He's like a god. It's like a, he's as a god. Okay? Devar acher b'sha'a shebarach mufnei paro ish. When the time when he's escaping from Paro, this is also when he's running away after he killed the Mitzri, it's like a guy. But when Paro drowns, that's what that word means, when he's drowning in the water, then he's Elohim. So we have both things going on. Okay? Devar acher. Okay, when he's going up to the Rakia for Matan Torah, and he's speaking to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Umahu ish, lifnei malachim shekulan ish. Okay, because he's not, he's an ish, because he's not like the malachim, because the malachim are all, they're not flesh and blood. They're ish, okay? Uvashasha rad min arikia Elohim. But when he comes down, he really is godlike. He has his aura, etc. Aminayin shekatu v'yiru migeshet ewa. Devaracher b'sha'asha ala l'rakia Elohim, k'shem she'ena malachim ochlin b'shotin, af hu lo achal v'lo shatamin. Okay, so in some ways, here's again, he's going up to the rakia. We can also see him there in that situation as also being godlike because he didn't eat and drink for 40 days, okay? Now, we know that angels don't eat, okay? So they're a whole other entity. That could be a whole other shir also, what are malachim, etc., Vahishan im Hashem arim yom v'gomer lechem lo achal amayim lo shata. Devar acher, mahu isha elihim, amar Rabbi Avin. Mechetz yo ulamata ish. Okay. U ish mechetz yo umala elohim. So in other words, from the feet to midsection, he walks, he doesn't walk on water, he walks on land. He's human. Or from the perspective of people on the ground, he could be that way. But from this part up, He's godlike. So he embodies, he's the unusual person, unlike any other person that we encounter in Tanakh and anyone before or after who embodies both. Embodies both in a sense that he has human-like qualities, but he's also unlike any other human that you would ever encounter. So he is human, and there's human things that you should worry about him, but in the same sense, he's not like anybody else, and he truly is special. And sometimes it just depends on your perspective. From a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he's man, my most special one, because I don't have, not only that there's no one like Moshe of B'nai Israel, Hashem doesn't have a relationship with another human being like that ever again. Doesn't happen again. Even with Eliyahu, it's not the same. It's not the same. He didn't have anybody like him beforehand, no relationship with another human being, until Moshe, and no one after. So it's dual. Not only with B'nai Israel, but also with Kadosh Baruch Hu. From his perspective, he's man, he's special. And for human beings, he's man, but he's unlike anybody else. And he truly is special. This is not your regular Joe. And just remember, again, that line, which I love so much, which might be a riff off of Gilbert and Sullivan, but when everybody's special, nobody really is, but to recognize the specialness, and that maybe it makes it even more special that Moshe, as a human, was able to achieve such greatness. Maybe that makes him even more impressive. That's when I try to put it all together. Because if he's kind of godlike and angel-like, you just say, oh, well, okay. But if he's human and he's able to really accomplish those things, how much more impressive for us? How much more impressive for us?
And colloquially, you say, which was attributed to Moshe Dayan in the victory in 67.
No, it's not.